But in order for them to find a meaning in life, to see light out of darkness, they might find ikigai. But it's not something you enjoy doing. It's more like finding the meaning of your struggle.
That was author of The Ikigai Diet, Sachiaki Takamiya, and this is episode 3 of the Ikigai Podcast. Find your Ikigai at ikigaitribe.com. Hey there, this is Nick Kemp from ikigaitribe.com with episode 3 of the Ikigai Podcast. In this episode, I interview sustainable life coach and author, Sachiaki Takamiya. Welcome and thanks for coming on the Ikigai Podcast, Sachiaki.
Oh, thank you very much for putting on me in here.
No worries. So, Sachiaki, you are an author and a sustainable life coach. And as a writer, you have written several books, both in English and Japanese.
Yes.
And you're best known for your Japanese book, Tenjo no Symphony.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a spiritual adventure novel, which was published with Kodansha
mm-hmm.
in 2006. And so is that a fairly large publishing company in Japan?
Yeah, it is one of the biggest publishers in Japan.
I see. And then in English, you have written several ebooks related to the Ikigai concept. So Ikigai, Zen and a Way of Sustainable Prosperity, Ikigai Business, and Ikigai Diet. You also have a YouTube channel and create videos related to sustainability, healthy eating and living, and of course, Ikigai, both in English and Japanese.
Yes.
And that's what we will be talking about today, Ikigai and what it means to Japanese. So let's start with a little bit of background. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Sachiaki.
Yes, okay. So I am a writer, and I have written many books in Japanese, mostly novels. Yeah, like you mentioned, the Tenjo no Symphony, that's the most famous book that I've written. But recently, I'm more known as the author of Hyakusho Revolution, which is another novel. And so if you do read Japanese, if you search under Hyakusho Revolution, which means Farmer's Revolution, you'll find my book. It's both available on Kindle and paperback. Yes. And unfortunately, I have only 3 books in English, and they are all Kindle books. Yeah. So the first one is Zen and the Way of Sustainable Prosperity, which is basically a book on motivational success philosophy, but based on sustainability. So it is different from conventional motivational success philosophy. So you want to be successful, but within the framework of sustainable. So you don't want to become too rich. You want to be rich enough to be comfortable, but you want to maintain a sustainable lifestyle to protect the environment and community and everything. Yeah. And Ikigai Business is the short version of this book. It is focusing on starting your business, which makes you prosperous, but also be sustainable at the same time and making society better. And Ikigai Diet is a book on kind of a healthy eating, and it's a book to help you become long, to lead a long, healthy, and happy life.
I purchased your book, Ikigai Diet, and I loved it.
Oh, thank you.
And I do hope you expand upon it and publish it as a paperback, because I think it would benefit many people.
Oh, thank you.
And so it is interesting how I sort of stumbled across you, because I actually found you through your YouTube channel, and you do quite a few videos in English talking about Ikigai.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ikigai is important to you.
Yes.
And you actually practice Ikigai.
Yeah, I do, because since I've written books on Ikigai Diet and Ikigai Business, I do talk about Ikigai a lot these days. Yes.
What I mean is you live the concept of ikigai.
Yes.
We're actually going to touch on what ikigai means. So ikigai has become a popular concept outside of Japan. And in recent years, there have been several books published on the concept, along with popular TED Talks. I even found a card game on the concept. There are documentaries and people do workshops. And if you Google ikigai, you'll find thousands upon thousands of blog posts or sharing this concept of the ikigai framework. And I'm sure our listeners have probably seen it by now. It's a framework of four interlocking circles that form a Venn diagram. And in each circle is the questions, are you doing something that you love, that the world needs, that you are good at, and that you can be paid for? And the idea is that your ikigai lies in the center of these interconnecting circles, and if you are lacking in one area, you are missing out on your life's potential and also maybe your chance to live a long and happy life. Now, Sachiaki, is this what ikigai is?
Well, the thing is, I hadn't seen this diagram until 2 years ago, I think, when a friend of mine sent me a link to a BBC article about ikigai introducing this diagram. I felt very puzzled because that's not what many Japanese people consider ikigai is. And in fact, I remember feeling very awkward about seeing it.
Yes, I think I told you this when we spoke earlier, but I was introduced to the word ikigai back in 1996.
Right.
And obviously back then there was no internet and there weren't any books on the concept. But I was aware of the word, and the word sounded so appealing, it stuck in my mind. And then when I saw the Venn diagram, I just thought, this doesn't make sense. And I kind of knew it. That was not what ikigai is for Japanese.
Right.
So let's look at each question in the Venn diagram. Mm-hmm. Is ikigai about doing something that you can be paid for?
Well, not necessarily, because, for example, if you ask me what my ikigai is, I have several ikigais. I can say, you know, a morning walk, because I enjoy walking in the morning is my ikigai, or coffee that I drink in the morning is my ikigai, or beer after doing a hard work of the day, yeah, is my ikigai. And also writing is my ikigai, because I'm a writer, I enjoy writing, and this is something I feel it's my mission and my, you know, purpose to live and everything. So it is ikigai too. So when you look at like a morning walk, I'm not paid to walk. Or morning coffee, yeah, I don't get paid for it. And beer, no, I don't get paid for it. In fact, for coffee and beer, I have to pay to to get them.
So I think you've raised a few important points there. So you can have more than one ikigai. You can have several ikigai.
Right.
And they can be small things.
Right.
Just a coffee, or as you say, and I guess for me it's the same. I love a cold beer after a hard day's work.
Yeah, it's really good, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And I believe that's often a joke. There's a Japanese friend told me that there'll be two salary men going to a bar after work.
Right.
And they'll take a sip of their beer and they'll go, ah, これは俺の ikigai で, or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Saying, this is my ikigai.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a joke, but actually it's not. So just enjoying something small,
right,
can be a little bit of ikigai.
Yes.
And as you've sort of mentioned, not really something you get paid for.
No.
Moving on to the next question, is Ikigai about what the world needs from you?
Well, again, not really. When I talk about morning walk or coffee or beer, I don't think the world needs from me for those three things. But when I say like writing, yeah, that's something well, I would like to believe that that's something the world needs from me, because I'm writing books to maybe contribute something to make people happy or make the society happy. So I think the world can get benefit from my writing. So certain things can be things that world needs from you, but not always.
Okay, and when we're talking about the world,
yeah,
for you, you also coach people, and you're also in a community of like-minded people who want to live sustainable lives.
Right.
So my understanding is it's not so much what the world needs from you, but it's more about your community, your family and friends, and the people who define you.
Right, yeah.
You're really contributing to people you know and care about.
Right, yeah, yeah. This is really depending on the definition of Ikigai or what context you're using Ikigai. Like if you, because I think Ikigai has two meanings. One is, Ikigai really means, there's two words, Ikiru and Kai. And ikiru means to live, and then kai is like a value or worth. So something that's worth living or value of living. Yeah, value of life. Yeah. Also, ikigai means like a joy in life or like a challenge or like fulfillment in life kind of thing. Yeah. So it can be a small joy in everyday life too. So if you're talking about a life purpose or life goal, and if you want to, for example, you know, feel a lot of value in your life, then maybe contributing to society will give you a lot of value. Therefore, if you do something that you think the world needs from you, then you're probably living a valuable life, and you feel ikigai. So it is possible that the things the world needs from you is your ikigai, but it doesn't have to be.
Yes, I think this whole idea of a framework doesn't really exist in Japan. There is no ikigai framework, is there?
Not set in those like a diagram and four question things. Yeah, and in fact, most people don't have a clear idea of what ikigai is. Many people probably have a vague image of ikigai.
Of course, we're talking about Japanese people.
Right, yeah.
Yes. Okay, well, let's look at the other two questions.
Right.
So for something to be your ikigai, do you need to be good at it?
Well, not really. Again, for a morning walk, you don't need to be good at walking to enjoy your walk. And for coffee, you don't need to be good at drinking coffee, or you don't need to be an expert in like tasting coffee or something to enjoy your coffee. And same with beer. So no, but let's say my writing, I hope I am good at writing. That is why it became my occupation. It is possible that you can make something you're good at as your ikigai.
And if we move on to the last one, is ikigai something that you love?
Yes, it can be, but it again doesn't have to be. But okay, let's say I love morning walks, I love coffee, I love beer. So those three things are something I love to do. And same as writing too. I enjoy writing. So it's something I love. So for me, this question applies. However, some people talk about ikigai as the motivate you to live, like people who are in tragedy or they live a difficult life, like, you know, like lost someone you love and so on, and then they are in pain. But in order for them to find a meaning in life, to see light out of darkness, they might find ikigai. But it's not something you enjoy doing. It's more like finding the meaning of your struggle. Now, often it's more like a kind of spiritual question, in a sense that what does this pain mean to me, or why am I experiencing this kind of a difficulty? Maybe there is something I can learn from it, and then by knowing that there's a lesson, it can help you continue living. So that can be this person's ikigai. So I don't think it applies to something you love doing or you enjoy doing.
I see. Yes. So it's basically, if you can find meaning in hardship,
right,
that can be an experience of ikigai or a source of ikigai.
Yes.
And I think I mentioned to you, I watched a very interesting documentary about lonely death cleaners in Japan, and the documentary said every day 3 men will die alone, and often their body's not detected until, you know, a couple of days or a week or even a month. And there are now cleaning companies specifically to clean up these apartments of people who've passed away. And they interviewed the manager, and he was sort of torn between the idea of when he gets a phone call, he sees that obviously it's good for business, but it means someone's died, and then he has to go through this unpleasant experience of cleaning the apartment. And right. He often has to clean up blood and body fat and maggots and all these things. But during the interview, he says, for him, he feels like he's taking care of this sort of final big problem for the person who's died. And he's kind of saying to this person, don't worry, I'm going to clean up your house. I'll sort out, you know, all your belongings, and you don't have to worry about it. And so he finds ikigai in that. And I was quite surprised, because he used that word very naturally.
Right.
He didn't make a big thing about the word. He just used it in normal conversation.
Right.
So it really gave me some context that, ikigai can be when you find meaning in something.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be something that you love.
Right, yeah.
We've cleared up this idea about the Venn diagram. And it's interesting how both you and I, while we didn't know each other, wrote blog posts on the origin of the Venn diagram.
Right.
And we actually found out it was a UK blogger.
Yeah.
Who basically took the purpose framework.
Right.
And instead of purpose being in the middle, he just replaced it with ikigai.
Yeah.
And he did this obviously after discovering the Blue Zone concept.
Yeah.
About the centenarians in Okinawa.
Dan Butuna, yeah.
Yeah, his TED Talk. And that TED Talk has also created some misconceptions. A lot of people think it's an Okinawan word and an Okinawan concept.
Right.
And that's not the case.
Yeah, it is throughout Japan.
Mm. Now, this blogger, I think he had the best intentions. I think he did it because he was inspired and he wanted to share the word.
Right.
And this is the thing about Japanese words. Japanese words have this mystique, and they sound so appealing.
Right.
People love sharing them.
Right.
So let's take this opportunity now, Sachiaki, to go a bit deeper. So ikigai goes deeper than the Venn diagram, which is a misconception.
Yeah.
But it is difficult to explain. Can you I think you've already explained ikigai, but what does it mean to most Japanese people?
Yeah. So as I said before, ikigai has two meanings, like the value in life and a joy in everyday life. And I think, but the thing is, I've kind of searched a lot on ikigai, both in English and in Japanese. And I even looked up the dictionary, and dictionary says those two definitions. But most Japanese people don't even know that definition. When people say ikigai, people have a very vague idea. So depending on where they are at in their life and their age and their circumstances, the answer varies. So if you ask, for example, what is your ikigai? to many people. Many people probably are puzzled. They cannot answer the question. My ikigai? That's a difficult question. I don't have a ikigai. Or some people might give you a simple answer. Ikigai. Yeah, probably morning coffee is my ikigai. Yeah. But if you ask the same question to someone who's been searching life and they're more philosophical people, then they might give you a life goal or life mission that they have as their ikigai. So depending on the people. Yeah, but I would say majority of Japanese people would regard ikigai to be something simple, like a joy in everyday life.
I see.
Yeah, but there are also minority, but a group of people who are rather interested in philosophy and they take life seriously, they probably would give you like a life purpose as their ikigai.
Yes, that's how Ken Moggi, who's an author and a neuroscientist, describes it. And it can be a spectrum from something very small as to enjoying your morning coffee, or to the pursuit of a life-defining goal.
Right.
Without the focus of money or fame.
Right, yeah. And also, I say, depending on who you ask and also what context you're using this, because often ikigai is used in the context of retirement lifestyle. Like, how do you enjoy your retirement? Or how do you become healthy when you're old? And so on. And then definitely ikigai helps your health and longevity. Therefore, if you're talking to a group of older people, you might say, find a joy in everyday life, such as morning walk or jogging or yoga or anything. And that can keep you continue living. And then that's okay. But if you are talking about it in like younger people, maybe the first year of their work, and if you are the boss, and you want to ask that question to new employees, you may have a completely different kind of expectations. Like the me too, like my mother is very old now, and I don't expect much from my mother. She has finished her work already. So now it's time for her to relax and take it easy. She doesn't need to think about life purpose or anything big. Just enjoy her life. While I have a different expectation from my son. I mean, he's only 8 years old, so I wouldn't expect him to have a life purpose. But when he grows up, yeah, I don't want him to just find a little joy in his everyday life, but find a purpose and then go outside and go out and do something to contribute to the world, change the world. That's what I expect from him. So depending on the context, I think it changes.
Yes, that's what I've read and found. I've found quite a few papers on ikigai, and most of the studies actually they do on older Japanese, and as you say, that they've finished probably two important roles in their life. They're no longer working,
right?
And they're no longer active parents. You know, their children have grown up and probably moved away, and so now they have a void in their life. And hopefully most of them can find ikigai or find an ikigai and fill it. So I guess what I've come to understand is that you can have, obviously you can have several ikigai, but your ikigai will change over time as you grow older and as you take on new life roles.
Yes.
You know, one day hopefully you and I will become a grandfather and maybe grandchildren will be one of our ikigai in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an important distinction that your ikigai, it's, you can have more than one and it will change as you grow and mature as a person.
Right.
One question I really want to ask is, do you think technology and social media, do you think it's making it harder for Japanese to find ikigai?
I think there are two levels to this question. I think yes and no in that sense. Because the reason why I say to most Japanese people probably cannot answer the question, what is your ikigai, is people have never had a chance to think about their life so much. Many people grow up just trying to meet the expectation of others, such as your parents or your teachers or mass media society in general. So they are told to study for the exams, to pass the exam, to go to good high school so that you can go to good university, then you can get a good job. So many people haven't had time to think about life because we are very much conformed by society, by our school education, by mass media, and so on. But internet opened a new possibility to many Japanese people. Now, instead of getting only one type of information from mass media, they can access a lot of different kinds of information. Therefore, in other words, they are kind of awakening. Many people are awakening through internet, and they are finding more unique ways to live. So finding their ikigai to lead the different lifestyles. On the other hand, technology such as, you know, Facebook and stuff, people have become very busy now. And you are spending a lot of time online and not spending enough time face-to-face or living in the nature and more like analog world, which definitely is destroying your senses and how to feel things. And also, because everything is so convenient and everything is so customized, many people are losing the patience.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have to get the answer very quickly and things. And that is also making it harder for people to appreciate things in life. And therefore, it is making it harder to find their ikigai too. Finding ikigai or feeling their ikigai.
Hey there, Nick Kemp here, and I wanted to touch base and let you know about my new course, the Find Your Ikigai course. Developed in consultation with Japan's leading ikigai researchers, the Find Your Ikigai course is the only culturally accurate and evidence-based practical guide to the ikigai concept. If you are interested in learning more about the Find Your Ikigai course, please visit ikigaitribe.com. Now back to the episode. One thing we haven't touched on is appreciation is an aspect of ikigai, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So I think people who appreciate things in general tend to have more ikigai, so having a kind of a positive outlook on life can help you have a meaning to live or a motivation to live.
What you were saying before, so in a way, the internet and our ability to access information and to learn about things has opened up opportunity for us to find our ikigai.
Right.
But at the same time, because the internet and social media is so disruptive, and as you said, it's now so easy for us to be satisfied. We can find information. We can constantly be entertained.
Right.
In a way, ikigai has probably become more important now than ever before. If we think about that, what advice can you give for people who want to find ikigai?
Yeah, so that's also depending on the kind of why they want to find their ikigai too, or in what context they want to find their ikigai. For example, if you're talking about like older people and they want to be healthy, then finding a little joy in everyday life can help them lead a healthy life. Yeah. Therefore, in that sense, you can even ask them to make a list of things they enjoy doing, or list of food they like eating. Well, not so much food, because when you want to be healthy, you want to eat good food. So if you love chocolate and things like that, might not help. But as an example, you can just write a list of things you like or you enjoy doing. But if you want to ask this question to find more like a serious meaning in their life, like they maybe they are young or they are in the middle age and they are like looking into new direction in life. They're looking for a new career or something. And then maybe it would help them to find the core of their life purpose or the question, like, why do you live? Like, what do you want to make out of your life? What do you want to accomplish in your life? And then if you can find your life purpose, then you will have more idea of where you can live, what kind of work you can do, and how you can spend your everyday life. Therefore, I think for that kind of situations, it is quite important to find your life purpose, like ikigai as your life purpose.
In order to do that, I guess we really need to know ourselves, yeah. And we also need to know our values.
Right.
Would that be correct?
Yeah, that would be correct. Yeah. So the Venn diagram, in a sense, can help if you exclude that part about get paid. Yeah, like things you love doing, things you're good at, what the world needs from you. If you find the answer to all those three questions, you may be able to find something like ikigai. No, not always, but it's possible to find something like ikigai by answering those three questions. And there, I'm sure there are lots of other questions you can ask yourself to find the meaning in life or direction in your life too.
I understand. Satyaki, ikigai is such a broad concept that we'll probably be doing several podcasts on ikigai, and we'll also get into your book, The Ikigai Diet. But to end today, if it's okay, I'd like to share a concept that you mentioned in your book called Sampo Yoshi.
Sampo Yoshi, yeah.
And how that relates to ikigai. So would you like to explain that word?
Right, yeah. So Sampo Yoshi is a philosophy by Omi Merchant. Omi merchants are a merchant from Omi. Omi is the old neighbor Shiga Prefecture, where I live now. Yeah, Shiga is in central Japan. Mm-hmm. Omi merchants were active back in 17th centuries or 18th century, and they were very successful merchants in Japan. And then many corporations in Japan were built by Omi merchant. So some of them still exist today. Yeah. And then they had a philosophy called Sampo Yoshi, which means three-way satisfaction. San means three, ho means direction, and Yoshi means good or happy. So Omi merchant conducted a business which made the seller happy and the buyer happy and the society happy all at the same time. So by providing good product or good service, you're making the buyer, the customers happy, and which makes you profitable, therefore making the seller happy. But meantime, they spend the money that they earned to donate to the community by building bridges, schools, temples, and so on. So they're always giving something back to the community. That was their business ethic. Yeah. So I have written a book called Ikigai Business. Ikigai Business is a finding a Sampo Yoshi business, the business of three-way satisfaction. But because it applies only to business, I kind of thought of if there's any way to apply this concept to other fields, such as happiness or health. Then I came up with those three ideas. One is Jibun Yoshi, means I am happy. Aite Yoshi means you are happy. You in this context means people you directly communicate to, such as your family members, your close friends, your coworkers, and so on. And then second Yoshi, the society is happy. So when you do something, if you can think of way to satisfy all those three parties, yourself and your close associates and the bigger society. Yeah. For example, I'll give an example. A lot of people say playing golf is their ikigai, which is okay. Yeah. But if I measure it through this concept of Sanpo Yoshi, is it Jibun Yoshi? Yes, if they enjoy playing golf, yeah, it is Jibun Yoshi. They are happy. So is it Aite Yoshi? In other words, your family and your friends, your coworkers, are they happy? Well, quite often, you play golf with your coworkers or your boss or your client, and you don't really play golf with your family. So family may not be happy. How about the society? Well, I mean, I don't like to criticize golf, but I don't think, you know, a lot of golf courses, for example, are kind of built after destroying forests and so on. So I don't think it is necessarily an environmentally friendly sport. Instead, if I replace with cycling, like going cycling with my son, then it is Jibun Yoshi because I feel happy. And my son is happy by going cycling with his dad. So it is Aite Yoshi. And then cycling is environmentally friendly, so it is also second Yoshi. And so in this way, we can meet the Sanpo Yoshi concept.
Yeah, I think it's a great application of the concept. I think I read about Sanpo Yoshi a long time ago. And then when I read your book, I was reminded of it. And then when I read how you apply it to happiness, I really thought that was a great way to apply it and meaningful. And in a way, almost like an aspect of Ikigai.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, Satsuyaki, it's been great talking, and thank you for your insight into what Ikigai means to Japanese. I'll definitely have you back to talk about your book, Ikigai Diet.
Yeah, thank you very much for inviting me today. Yeah, I really enjoyed this talk too.
I look forward to having you back on the show.
Thank you.
This episode was brought to you by the Find Your Ikigai course. Developed in consultation with Japan's leading Ikigai researchers, the Find Your Ikigai course is the only culturally accurate and evidence-based practical guide to the Ikigai concept. To learn more about the Find Your Ikigai course, please visit ikigaitribe.com.